Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight. I ain't got many friends left to talk to.
I love that. Not that this is the last Josie of 2018, but that graphic. I'm just throwing our faces up there. Like, what do they call that thing? The Jilf? Or the Wilf? They you put it on a website, put your kids' faces up there in the elf stance. Jesus, look at that. Beetle looks like he's scared. He's running from something. Tom looks like he's an old president. Hardy looks like he just killed somebody, and he knows where the body's stored, but he's not saying. I'm coming off a bender.
Tom was never that small. Like, even when he was born.
Tom,
look at
like,
his neck.
It's like someone.
Where'd it
like
go?
Injected swelling in his forehead.
Phil Perry is with us.
We'll be showing movies from 4 to 6. Off his
Hardy head. Looks great. Did Hardy put that together? Because he looks good there.
He did not.
Oh, okay.
Phil Perry is brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your tailgate or football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com.
Love Stop and Shop. Was there yesterday. Picked up some ice.
I was there this morning.
How about I tell you about the ice? Huh?
What?
It's good ice.
What? Good ice?
It's like a grainy ice. That's I'll tell you what.
We did a lot of ice talk here.
I don't like ice out of my fridge. I hate ice out of my fridge. I keep a bag of ice in there.
Oh, I get you.
Store bought ice because I like that.
Right.
Swirl around you. I don't like the long half moon ices that come out of my fridge. It tastes like freezer burn. You know. Give me the bagged ice. Not like a bag.
Fresh ice. Need fresh ice. Don't want that freezer burn ice.
Scott is in the truck today. Scott.
What's up, Scott? Scott!
A windshield wiper? Where'd you get it? It's rhythmic in some fashion. Scott, are you there?
Maybe he's just got a bird on his shoulder?
Wow, that is so annoying. All right. Instead of that, I'm going to talk about this game on Sunday. As you said, Devin McCourty calls it a must win.
We got a game.
Win.
Yeah.
Must win. And I think Buffalo is going to come here and is actually going to show some fight.
They're going to play hard, though.
They got
some good guys up front. They run around. They're not perfect, but they have the two guys that I think you need to make a front go with Williams and I'm telling you, Jerry Hughes, man.
Hughes.
I just let's thought.
Go, let's they love Hughes.
After, what if the Patriots were to lose this weekend?
I would say that this, you know what? You laugh. I thought this game was more losable than the Miami game.
Oh, boy.
Miami and Miami?
Just
I don't think it is.
No, not Miami based on Miami, but matchup.
Talent-wise.
The talent matchup.
Well, Buffalo's defense.
Who's the second best team?
Yeah.
I tell you what, Buffalo plays hard.
Before that game, he's like, oh, it's Buffalo. I'm like, I think it's Miami.
I think it's Buffalo by far.
It's Buffalo.
Buffalo's defense is
much better. And now you inject Allen into it, who can run.
He can run.
He's not great, but he can run. And his kid Foster's now playing hard. So they don't have Benjamin anymore. They got Foster.
The skill guys are
not
good.
Zay Jones and Foster are okay.
He's fast. He's an explosive play threat.
You got Clay.
Here's what I think happens.
You got two good backs.
If you've watched some of these Josh Allen highlights these last few weeks, I think, and I've talked to a few DBs about it this week. Well, he's looking to run, but when he throws, you as a defensive back, you almost have to recalibrate how far it is humanly possible to throw a football. Like that is almost a new calculation that you have to do in your head.
Giant.
If somebody escapes the pocket,
if someone gets behind you though,
usually on the run, guys can throw only a certain distance. It's a little bit shorter than normal. You start to creep up. It's a natural sort of inclination that you've had your entire life since you played high school football. This guy can throw it 60 yards with the flick of a wrist, and you have to remember that on a snap-to-snap basis, because if you forget on one play, and it happened to him against Patrick Mahomes, and this guy's arm is probably better than Mahomes' arm, if you're just talking arm strength, you're going to get hit for an 80-yard completion and maybe a touchdown. But the quarterback is very hit or miss. I mean, he had one of his better games passing the football, and he barely cracked 200 yards last week. The defense is what I would be worried about, because now you're dealing with a new-look offense. You've got to flip this thing around fast, and you're dealing with a defense that has only allowed more than 180 yards passing twice in their last 10 games. This is the 2018 NFL. That is a 1994 stat. 180 yards passing, 8 out of your last 10 games? That is a wild number. Wild. Like, I couldn't get over that when
we're
I saw
going
that.
Back in time.
I mean, it's really what it is. And there's probably a lot that goes into that. You know, teams may feel like they can run the ball in this team. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. But that stat alone tells you that this defense is something to concern yourself with if you're the Patriots. Again, which is a passing game that has had trouble creating separation.
You're making me nervous now.
You're
making me nervous.
It's not going to be easy for them to throw the football.
You're going
to
be and you talk about the type of crowd, and I think this is why it's good this week that I think you're going to get. Hey, we got a bunch of days off coming up this week. Let's go, my buddies. Let's get liquored up and let's yell and let's have some fun at this game, as opposed to I think the family style crowd you're going to get next prior to New Year's, because I think you're going to be sitting there. At least you and I, and we will be on our hands through a quarter and a half, seeing what kind of game we got here.
Oh, I hope it's not tight. I hope it's not tight and everybody's nervous.
I think you're going to have a tight game through the first quarter.
Oh, no.
I think they're going to. I think the Bills will cover. What's the spread? 13.5?
It's a lot. 12. It's a high number. I think it was 13.5 this morning.
I thought I saw 13.
Any double digit spreads, I would not put up the Patriots against any team right now. Yeah. Double digits.
Especially given
what
they're dealing with. So, oh, yeah, definitely. Football Fix, 6 o'clock. We'll be talking Bills, Patriots. We'll be talking a lot of stuff. It'll be a fun show today.
It always is.
But, yeah, I just that's the one area that I look at because it's a zone team. You know what they do.
Right,
there we go. Look at NBC Sports Boss. Johnny on the spot.
Right there. 13.5 is what I'm seeing right now.
This is the other thing. They're not going to do what some of these defenses have done to you, which has given you issues, which is be moving around the line of scrimmage. Remember, the Titans had that formation. It's that amoeba front where, you know, the Patriots usually have at least one guy down. The Titans didn't have anybody down. The Steelers were doing a little bit of that last week in terms of just rotating safeties, and is it single high or is it too high? The Bills, now they may do something different. Teams often have different things cooked up for the Patriots when it's Patriots week. But the Bills kind of do what they do under Sean McDermott. But they have a good front. They have a good enough secondary. They have a couple athletic guys at the linebacker level. And they make it really hard for teams to pass the ball on them. So maybe it's a big Sony Michel game. Maybe it's a big James Devlin game. They just try to go heavy and run over people with Dwayne Allen playing 40 snaps. I don't know. But throwing the football could be difficult.
Did you feel like Sony Michel had a better week last week? Zoe and I both did.
I thought so. Although it felt like on the runs that he was actually breaking through into the second level and beyond were brought back because of holes. So it's like, how much can we really take away from that?
Then you end up throwing, then you bring Burkhead in the game, and now we got to mix them in. I think in a sense, like, Burkhead has complicated things in the backfield for them, along with James White.
I think he has, but he gives them something that neither of those guys give them, which is unpredictability.
Right.
So,
run or catch.
So you want to try to mix him in as well, and now you're dealing without one of your best receivers, and I think you're going to start to see even more two-back. They're already among the league leaders in two-back sets. I see people, the answer to losing Josh Gordon is go with the pony set. Burkhead, White, let's throw it all over the map, and that may be the answer, but they're already doing that. Yeah. They're already using their two-back sets. They're not using two tight ends quite as much, and I don't expect that to skyrocket because it's Jacob Hollister as the pass catcher.
How about putting James White out wide?
You much of anything.
James White.
Yeah, they'll do it. They'll do it, and they have done it.
More than they have. More frequently.
I wonder if, and he has not been limited in practice, and I've talked to him, and he's not ever going to make any kind of excuse physically. He took a shot in that Packers game weeks ago where he had to come out of the game. He starts the second half with a wrap on his knee. He actually ended up making a big play later in that game. If you remember that, it was it the double pass that he caught in that game? And he ends up cruising down the sideline and almost gets into the end zone late in that game. I don't know if it was a double pass or it was sort of a throwback situation. Anyway, I'm not sure he's 100% healthy is the takeaway for me, because he just hasn't. How many times do you see that dead leg move where he just puts a foot in the ground, makes at least one guy miss, and he's not running people over, but he can juke you in the open field, and we just haven't seen that much of it from him lately. And I wonder if something's going on lower body there where it's preventing him from being as effective as he can be. So you can put him outside and you can run little slants with him. You try to get a linebacker on him, that's still going to be a mismatch whether he's healthy or not. But I don't think there's an easy answer with Gordon gone, because you're just going to find that defenses are finding it easier for them to lock down on you and make things a little bit more cramped.
Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston with us. Read and React coming up at 12:36. One more segment with Phil is next. Right now, the VSiN Action Update brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
Now a look at the numbers with the Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Waterproof floors from 39 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from 99 cents. Plus special financing. Get to the fall flooring yard sale at Lumber Liquidators today. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Week 16 in the NFL begins with a pair of games tomorrow. Tennessee is a 10-point favorite at home against Washington, and the Chargers are favored by 4.5 hosting Baltimore. Three games Sunday match teams with records of 500 or better. The Eagles are laying 1.5 at home against Houston. The Saints are 6-point favorites hosting the Steelers. And on Sunday night, Seattle is a 2.5-point underdog at home against Kansas City. Also Sunday, the Patriots are 13.5-point home favorites against the Bills. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Most pitchers in a game by one
Red
team.
Sox.
Over under.
Red Sox.
No, over under.
Oh.
Will Mookie Betts make an error in a game where he starts at second base? I think the favorite is there.
Oh, very good.
What do you mean, very good?
What do you mean, favorite?
Ping, pong, ping, ping. I don't know if there'll be snow. There'll be lots of cheer.
Read and React at 12:36. RJ Bell at 1 p.m. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us. More of those great fake promos coming up in 1:50.
What was that, Red Sox over and unders? Those were good.
Yeah, pre-playoff over-unders.
Over-under. I'm going Red Sox.
I'll take Red Sox.
What do you think the favorite is? That's Red a yes Sox. Or no. Very good.
Good chance.
This hour. What do you mean very good?
What do you mean favorite?
What do you mean favorite?
I don't gamble.
This hour of Zolak
and talk sports.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your tailgate or football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com. Get all your goods there, all your supplies for tailgating on Sunday for a 1 o'clock kick in Foxborough. We have a weather update on that, so I know you're good on keeping track of the weather.
Doing it right now. Yep. Weather right now is actually 60.
Sunday, it's about 40 degrees and sunny.
Okay.
Do you know it's 66
yeah,
degrees?
Yeah, I see
right
here
now.
42.
I'm actually going to the game, so I get that. I did make sure I checked.
42, sunny, dry.
Oh, look at you sliding out.
Nice little 1 o'clock start for the people.
It's good.
1 o'clock, and sunny game in December.
If you're on the Patriots sideline, that side of the stadium,
nice,
you'll get
sunny.
The sun.
If you're on our side, you'll be cold.
You'll be cold. You'll be in the shade.
Yeah.
But it'll be nice and warm.
Jim, you going to wear a Christmas sweater? A Patriots Christmas sweater? Get all dressed up? Game day?
No.
No.
Okay. 617-779-0985. Brian is in Westboro. Brian.
Brian's right there.
Hey, what's going on?
What's
Thanks
up?
For taking the call.
What's up, Brian?
I'm a consistent listener, so I enjoy.
How consistent? And then, like every day consistent?
Every morning, probably. I mean, I do a lot of driving because I'm a, I'm a high-end painter, so I like to move around a lot. And then,
what do you,
you know,
high-end painter? You like up in the air? Like you do the ceilings?
No. It's like you have different levels of painting. You have kind of like comb-overs, which you would go in like a dorm room in a college, and then you would just paint everything the same
blast
color. And then,
right.
Yeah, and then you have fine detailed painting, which actually takes time, and there's procedures and methods to make sure that you get the good.
Yeah, trim it out. You got to keep that wet edge.
Exactly. So, but the reason for the call is I wanted to make a point that, you know, there's been a consistent debate that we don't have the guy. When I feel like we've had the guy and he's been open, but Tom Brady didn't see it. And I feel like Tom Brady has had a knack of doing that a lot this year, not seeing that open guy and going to the guarantee guy like Gronk and Edelman, who have been triple covered, and, you know, Edelman has made some drops. Easy catches too, you know. So I feel like, you know, if he could almost wear that out, you know, and get away from that knack, then essentially we could probably get a better offensive motion, you know, and be on the field more, you know, get more snaps in that we typically haven't, because, you know, it's just either been three and out or, like, and another thing that got me is when they didn't go for that fourth down, he just punted it. And, you know, Belichick, I felt like, would go for something like that. And but as far as having the guy, I think we have the guy. I think it's in Tom's liberty to make sure that he finds the guy, because he's always a guy open.
Okay, so it's not one specific.
So I kind of disagree with. I know James White was open at the end of the game. That might be, you know, what's freshest in your mind, Brian.
On a third down play?
Third down, I would actually say second down would have been when I would have tried to go to him, because you could pick up a chunk gain. You've still got 20-ish seconds. Maybe gets out of bounds. Maybe
but
doesn't.
Everybody's
but still
looking
plenty
at that
of time.
Third down play where he's sliding up and he's to the right. He's already predetermined. I'm going right with the ball. And then James.
I didn't
White
hate the third down throw. I didn't hate the choice there. You have Rob Gronkowski on 5'11" Joe Hayden on a jump ball situation. Like even
I just thought
on,
he went up
even
to
on one leg.
I thought he would have went up to Patterson.
Gronk should still win that.
He tried to stick the one with
Patterson
enemy.
was. One-on-one, basically, if you want to call it that. Now, maybe by the time the ball gets there, there's more defenders there. I would say that I think the issue is not that Tom Brady is not seeing and choosing not to go to open guys. There are not open receivers that are just clear-cut running through opposing secondaries.
And
they are having issues creating separation. If it was there consistently, I think Tom Brady would find it, even if it was Chris Hogan or Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, you're seeing him throw to Patterson down the field. That's not a guy. Do you think he trusts Cordarrelle Patterson?
No, hell no.
But he's still going to him because he feels like, okay, here's one guy who can separate a little bit.
You're putting it up to either Rob or Julian. That's the two guys he trusts to put the ball up if there's coverage. Here's what I challenge people to do, because everybody has the ability now to go buy the all 22 and look at
it. They do.
Okay, you'll see. And here's the part that drives me crazy is Brady's selected where he's going with the ball. Ball's here at its peak, its apex, its release point. Ball's leaving. And they're circling people that are open away from him. So the defense already sees he's committed to throw. Ball's already being released. That defense is, guess what, breaking on the ball to go to the area where the ball's being thrown, which is going to guarantee that that guy looks that much more open. I challenge you to do this. When the ball's in the chest cavity, two hands on it, tell me which circle which guy's open to me.
Right.
Because that's where you won't see anybody open. And I know this for a fact. Josh is designing plays. And when you call the play against a certain look, you're trying to get Rob free on something, and you're trying to get Julian working underneath off something else. So there's a reason Brady's trying to bang them on it when there is coverage on them. That's a cold play sometimes. Not all the time. A
couple of interesting plays
where you
saw.
I'm saying, you know, when the ball's gone, it's easy to say a guy is open when the defender leaves him and he looks like he's wide.
That's dangerous. Taking, you know, screen grabs and freezing it and saying, whoa, this guy was open at this point. How did he not know? That's tough. I would say this. I think there were a couple of instances last weekend where you had Steelers basically running into each other, both offensively and defensively. But Edelman's long catch, the 25-yarder where Brady kind of rolled out to the right ever so slightly, that was as open as it was because he had guys running into each other. You may look at that and you say, well, that's, you know, it's Three Stooges defense from the Steelers. You can't depend on that. Those are the types of things that they're going to try to create moving forward, where you have, you know, two guys crossing the field, whether it's shallow or deep. You're going to have guys running slants and flat routes on the same side of a formation for some quick hitters to try to run some natural rub plays or pick plays and get defenses to either A, have to communicate, okay, who do I have if we have a screen situation like basketball? Who's going to be my guy if we get screened here? Or they don't communicate at all, and they butt heads, and all of a sudden you have two guys running open free. That's something that they did a lot of last year with Danny Amendola playing as much as he did, because they trusted him to be able to understand how to run the route without picking up an offensive pass interference penalty or some kind of other illegal play where you're blocking beyond 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage. Those are the kinds of things that you're going to have to try to do now to create openings, because you don't have the personnel that are going to be able to create on their own.
Jeff in Nashville. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, boys. Merry Christmas.
What's up, Jeff?
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
So I just wanted to talk about, I think there's a general consensus that with the lack of weapons and you know, the way the team's going, that this year the number two seed would, you know, would greatly help the team more so.
Sure would.
So I want to talk about the everybody's real high on the Texans, and I think they lose this week at Philadelphia. But if I could just go over these are the quarterbacks that the Texans have faced: Osweiler, Gabbert, Bortles, Kessler, Mariota, Colt McCoy, Alex Smith, Keenum, Peterman, Dak, Eli, and they faced Josh Allen, Darnold, and Mayfield. They've beaten and they lost to Luck, and they beat Luck once, and they also lost to Brady. So I think that the defense is a lot more fraudulent than people are talking about. They really haven't faced a lot of quote unquote professional quarterbacks besides Brady and Luck. So I think if they lose this weekend, which I think they will, and obviously it is a must win for the Patriots, I think that that number two seed is well within reach. Thanks, guys.
All right,
have a happy holiday.
You too. And they have the Jaguars, too, at the end of the year, which I think, as a Week 16 game, is a more dangerous game than what you have in the Jets.
You do?
If I'm Houston...
Don't you think they packed it in?
I think they packed it in, but if there's one group that could say, you know what, F it. Let's go beat their ass. Like, let's win one last game. They got too many athletes, man. I'm sorry. I go with the athletes.
I think the Texans' defense is actually pretty legit. I just feel like because of some of those quarterbacks they've played, they haven't been forced to really put up points week after week after week. I know they put up a 40 spot a few weeks ago.
I think it's
but you look at a lot of those wins when they started their winning streak early, they were winning a lot of games, with 23 points, 20 points, 21 points.
Didn't they start 1-3? Or didn't they start 0-3? They lost in New England. They lost week two. I think they started 0-3, ripped off like 9 in a row.
I think the defense, you can give the defense a little bit of credit, even with that. That's an impressive list of quarterbacks right there. I didn't realize it was that ugly.
It's that ugly.
But you
That's why I don't believe
you can give
in
the
Texas.
Defense a little bit of credit.
A Bill, little bit. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No.
Josh in Somerville. Josh.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to weigh in on that. It's been driving me nuts. So I appreciate you defending the wall on the topic because it's
what
absolutely
topic?
Not a Christmas movie. And on the Die Hard topic, it's ridiculous.
It's a stupid question.
It's
a movie about guns
and
bullets in a skyscraper, and people have glass all over their feet. Happy Christmas.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So what I wanted to do was to shut these people up. So I sat down for about way too long, and I came up with the criteria real quickly. Let me run it down you why it's not a Christmas movie.
You got kids?
So everyone gets
real quick, you got kids?
No.
Yeah. Well, if you had kids, would you show them Die Hard?
No.
Yeah, it's not a Christmas movie. Keep going. What's your point about it?
But let me give you my three criteria really quickly. Bear with me. I'm sorry. All right, release date. Release date is the big criteria.
Nothing to do with it.
What?
Has nothing to do with
Just
it.
Just let him get 3 points out, please.
Christmas Story on November 18th. Christmas Vacation, December 1st. Scrooge, November 23rd. Die Hard, July 20th. Not a Christmas movie. They don't release Christmas movies in July.
That's a good point.
Second of all, soundtrack. Die Hard has 3 Christmas songs. Bad Santa is 15 out of 15. Christmas Vacation is 12 out of 13. Christmas Story has 11 Christmas songs.
Home Alone.
Not a Christmas movie. Home Alone, a million 12, Christmas songs.
12 of them.
12. Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. There you go. So final point out of the three criteria, sequels. If it's a Christmas movie, then the sequels will be Christmas movies as well. So say Home Alone, Bad Santa.
What is it, the second one, Batter Santa?
The second one was soundtrack, and series of songs. All of these facts... All these facts put to rest the argument that this is not a Christmas movie.
I like this.
Yeah. That's a little bit outside the box. I didn't like where he started with the release date.
Bruce Willis had a big statement on it. He said, sorry, everybody who thinks it is, it's not. That just came out. And yeah. I was thinking more along the lines, instead of release date, here's my criteria for it. It's July, right?
Yeah.
You're sitting home.
Sweaty.
You turn on, you're thumbing through the cable guide and HBO. If it's a movie that you say to yourself, what the hell is this on in July? Then it's a Christmas movie. But if it doesn't make you ask that question,
you just solved it.
It's not a Christmas movie.
You just solved it.
If Scrooge pops up, you're like, why the hell is this on on 4th of July? Would you be shocked if you saw Die Hard was on HBO at noon on July 7th?
No.
Nope. No.
Wouldn't think twice about it.
Followed by Breakfast Club. Not a Christmas movie. But you watch
I don't
it in
know
July.
That anybody was trying to make that case.
No, but like, say you're sitting there and it's July 4th weekend, and you get Die Hard and then 16 Candles or
A Christmas Story is not going to be on TNT.
Right.
Memorial Day weekend. But
agreed.
Die Hard would be, And Gremlins, by the way. That's big Jim Murray's big one. Gremlins, that's Christmas.
He could die on that hill, too.
Yeah.
Phil, appreciate you being here today. Phil,
appreciate you guys. I learned something today.
And getting here.
Learned a lot.
I know it's a lot to
do. Oh, of course. Of course.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. I will see you, Beatle, later tonight. Football Fix, 6 p.m., NBC Sports Boston. Fire show.
Yes, all of that.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's time to rage.
Did you see Phil running away from the... Excuse me.
Oh, Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Sanitarium.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Little off schedule today.
That's okay.
Typically, we're at 11:36, but today it's at 12:39. Let's read and react. By the way, score update from the Bahamas Bowl.
Oh, no.
Tom took the over. Excuse me.
What a
the
start,
under,
what a start
under,
to the game.
Took the under today in the football card.
Because the line moved from 61.5 to 57.5.
Whatever.
66 to 57.5.
Is that I watched FIU fumble the kickoff, give it to Toledo inside the 10, and they scored on their second offensive play 15 seconds into the game, 7-0.
The moron fields the kick at the goal line. Then he just starts to walk to the 5. And then all of a sudden starts running to the left and he fumbles.
Yeah, no plan there.
It is Tom's life in a nutshell. Under, and they fumble the opening kickoff, and they ensued a score.
They did.
Just English.
You see him beat that shark off? We had to get that in at the end of the year. That's great. That's my favorite clip. What was the result of that last Pittsburgh game? Was that a matinee? We doing brutes
No,
today.
It was the... they played it at night.
React.
Steelers play the Saints on Sunday. On his radio show, Ben Roethlisberger was asked about Ian Rappaport's report that he had cracked ribs last week. What did Big Ben have to say about that?
Speaking of national media, Ben, there was a report out there before the game the other day. Ian,
is this a Pittsburgh version of Jim Gray?
No. This is one of the local guys in Pittsburgh.
I get what you're saying.
Hello, Ben.
He's got a little
Jim Gray.
A little Jim Gray going on there. All right.
This is the Ben Roethlisberger show, which lasts about 20 minutes inside of one of their daily shows there.
Good grief.
Before the game the other day, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network saying that you had sustained cracked ribs last week.
You shouldn't even say his name on this show because nothing that comes what he says there's any truth to. I mean, I'll stop you before. I have no idea where that came from. My wife texted me before the game, like, did you hear about this? And I'm in the locker room, like, this is unbelievable. I don't know where that guy gets his information from. So we're not even going to give him credence on this show, if that's okay with you.
All right. Well, let's move ahead with how you felt.
Thank you.
Very polite.
Huh. Oh, wow.
So he goes after Ian Rappaport. By the way, that tweet from yesterday from Rap Sheet about how the Patriots saw this coming and that's why
they took him off the field.
They were taking Josh Gordon off the field. Uh-huh. That tweet's not there anymore. I wonder why.
Not a great couple of days.
Can't throw stuff against the wall.
By the way, I think this Ben Roethlisberger thing goes back to Rap Sheet having reported about 4 years ago that Roethlisberger was going to get traded. That the Steelers were potentially talking trades for Roethlisberger.
He had that retirement thing, too. And that went to Ben's, you know what.
Yeah.
Well, more of the Saints-Steelers matchup. Saints defensive end Cam Jordan asked about Ben Roethlisberger this week in the locker room.
We know they run it well. We know they got a couple thousand-yard receivers. They've got a quarterback who might be going to the Hall of Fame. He's only in sack 20.
Is that true?
Roethlisberger? Yeah. So
really?
What did this offense do well?
In this era. You put him at like a top three of this era.
I wouldn't put him at a top three, but I think
top five of this era.
I think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Top five of this era.
Roethlisberger, top five of this era.
You put him at top five of this era.
A couple Super Bowls, probably not.
Is that a yes or no?
Yes.
Who's asking the question?
The reporter just said, Ben, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback you're going up against. And Cam Jordan just focuses in on Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Fame.
Who would be your top five? Drew. Tom. Aaron.
Aaron, who got less Super Bowls than Roethlisberger, less
people. Numbers are impressive. So you're saying
numbers are impressive.
And two more guys.
His numbers are always impressive.
Okay.
Aaron. Okay. So then you put him right there.
Roethlisberger doesn't have decent numbers.
Peyton.
Is Peyton the same era?
No.
Peyton isn't the same era. This is the conversation we had the other day when I was telling you guys that Philip Rivers is not a lock because there are so many quarterbacks from this era. Yeah, Peyton just retired a couple years ago. His career and Brady's career overlapped probably more than he will overlap with anybody else.
I think I want to change my pick. I think I want to take Pittsburgh this week.
He's not. I didn't even count him in the
era. This is the era. He retired 2 years ago. That was most of Roethlisberger's career. You're saying he's better. He's better than Philip Rivers right now.
Right now?
Career-wise.
Career-wise?
Because you give him the Super Bowl or not. Is that what you say?
Yeah, he didn't have a more accomplished career than Philip Rivers.
You're putting him at number five.
Yeah, I put him at five.
Okay. I'd honestly put Eli before I put Ben, but okay.
What?
Two Super Bowls.
Hey, I'm not going to knock someone for saying fewer guys should get into a Hall of Fame and that winning big games and Super Bowls matters. I disagree with his list, but I like his approach.
Would you put Eli in before Ben?
Hell no.
No.
God, no.
You know that's Cam Jordan, correct?
Good player.
Did you see
two Super Bowls?
Can you imagine that going on in the Patriots locker room if players here had an opinion on anything? How fun that would be.
You think Peyton's better than Tom?
I love that. Cam Jordan's like, whoa, wait a minute. I disagree with him, but
did you see the stuff before the Saints game, before the Saints played Carolina, that they actually had that party with the broom when they swept them? So they had the actual broom. So Peyton and the Saints sent the broom to Cam Newton. Oh. And Cam Jordan had that bottle of Jordan's wine, and he put Cam Jordan on it, and he sent that to Cam. Cam's like, I put it in my locker. It motivates me every day. They lost.
Feel free to butt in during
now I'm lost.
History of ass play in the NFL.
Wow. React. Packers play the Jets earlier this week. Rumors that Aaron Rodgers would sit out. Now he's going to play. So here's Aaron on the decision.
Well, I think it's a lot about leadership. You know, if I want to, be listened to and followed and looked up to, how could I stand here and say that, these games that don't matter for playoffs, I'm going to cash it in.
He's inspiring me so far.
This is not the way I lead, and I'm super competitive, and I want to be out there with the guys, and I look forward to being out there.
He was saying he meant like mail it in.
I don't know.
Well, as you know, I'm super uber competitive.
Can you play or not?
I want to be out there.
Can you play?
Yeah. That's very insulting.
It sounds like he can play.
It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't
it
have
sounds
to be
like he's going to play.
Long, drawn-out conversation about whether or not.
Relax.
Look, even if you're not playing for anything, if you can play, you should play. I mean, this isn't the end of the baseball season where you're saving yourself up for the playoffs. You played 162. No. Can you play? Go play. What? We're supposed to give him accolades now for pulling it together and going out? No, if you can play, then you should go play.
He sounds like he's always mad at somebody.
I don't know.
He sounds like he's always in some bitch fest with someone. Like, he's always trying to talk someone off the ledge. You guys write this. And told you to relax and we can be fine.
I'm going to be a leader.
You know I'm a competitor.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be with the guys. Yeah. Why are you always saying this? I don't want to play or I shouldn't play. He's always trying to convince people of stuff. I don't know.
Blair in Maine. Go ahead, Blair.
Whale and Timber.
Thanks, Blair.
When was that from?
A couple weeks ago,
yeah. Raiders play the Broncos on Monday night. John Gruden.
Johnny boy.
Talks about what could be the last Raider game in Oakland.
You know, I'm really sensitive about hearing that. It's going to be a great atmosphere Monday night, Christmas Eve. Denver Broncos coming to town. I get excited thinking about it. Yeah. Just raging in the black hole, rocking and raging down there after.
Means that
rocking
like
and in rolling in and raging in the black hole.
Interstellar sense, you know?
Maybe someone in front for appetizers.
So much gravity, not even light can escape.
Hey, you touch that boy again, I'm going to cut your head off with the blade I sharpened underneath them mowers after I took that girl on that walk.
Now, this would be the point to play the transition of an Osprey.
Steeler game after a lot of wins, you know, seeing a lot of the old highlights of the great Raider teams. I get excited. I get emotional about it. Hopefully we get it all resolved where we can continue to play here.
What is it that makes the place so special to you?
It's a real football stadium.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nah, it's a fake one.
Thank you.
Dirt grass. It's got tradition. It's where some of the best games in history of football have been played. It's where some of the best players in the history of the world played the football games at. You know, you're walking around before the Steeler game, you see Franco Harris and Lester Hayes, and you think about some of the battles they had in that place. Reggie Jackson lighting the torch. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened in that stadium. And next question. I mean, I get excited. I don't even know to start crying about a stadium.
Yeah. See, and he speaks of Franco Harris, and I got a tweet from one of our former interns, Ed, who saw Brian on air. Was very upset that, you know, we didn't do that type of stuff when Ed was here. He said, "Don't forget, I'm the one that called Frank O'Harris."
Right.
The Irish running back.
In what scenario is it not the last game for the Raiders in Oakland?
If they get a one-year lease and the city wants them to stay.
Back. Okay.
The city is suing them now and wants them gone, and their lease is up. So it doesn't look like things are friendly there, which means they need to go somewhere for a year before they go to Vegas.
Marshawn Lynch, Vegas is not going to be ready for next year.
No, they're talking about they would play their home games potentially in San Diego.
Gotcha.
And the Chargers
are talking about going to Qualcomm?
Yeah.
Going back to San Diego to play some games there. San Antonio is
Marshawn Lynch went in front of the city council, made a big plea, and said, "Man, you're letting these teams leave this town." And Marshawn grew up right there in Oaktown. So, he's pretty pissed off.
Read.
And I think I'm seeing a full season of him.
React.
Finally, LSU preparing for their bowl game. Head coach Ed Orgeron holding a press conference near the practice field this week.
Great.
And I guess he got annoyed.
You never heard him talk about that football?
John Embry, another great young man from Destrehan, Louisiana. Hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
Shut the hell up. Great young man. On the scrimmage, we wanted to get bigger. I'll stop.
Hey, stop the ball. Stop the grip. I'm having a press conference. Thank you.
He stopped.
We had to fix the line of scrimmage. Went all the way to Michigan.
He goes right back to where he left off.
Who's the guy from the Waterboy, the comedian that just owned?
That's where he's from.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
Could you hold the damn hammering, please?
I'd love to play for this guy.
Great young man. On a scrimmage. But done, ain't lost, Kurt.
The visual is awesome. The visual is like they're doing the press conference like on the sidelines. Hey! So they have the big backdrop, and then all of a sudden they pan back when he goes, and the field's right behind the podium.
Stop the ball. Stop the grip. I'm having a press conference. Thank you.
For the love of God, your own body. Hold the hammering.
We had to fix the line of scrimmage. Went all the way to Michigan.
Barstool and, pardon my take, and those guys, Big Cat and PMT, they are so fascinated by him. They've been to LSU twice this year to run out of a tunnel with him. It's crazy. Bam on our show. We got it. We done football. We're going to tackle him. We're going to run. We're going to beat Alabama this year.
Yeah, you are. Huh?
Yeah.
Read.
Get out of here.
React.
That's what I wanted to hear.
If Marcy ever had a guitar and played it that way on your new house, in your new couch,
what does that have to do with anything?
How quick would you come to work? Like, you would have other interests.
That's Read and React.
Thank you, Artie. Appreciate that. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
All right, what you going to do with all that junk inside your trunk? What you going to do? You're not going to get love drunk on those humps. You're going to call Waken 180 Weight Loss right now.
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
Yeah!
All right, so you have a holiday tradition that you play something at this time every year.
It's the dinner scene from Talladega Nights. Ricky Bobby, Kyle Norton Jr., Dad Chip from his wife Carly, and two kids, Walker and Texas Ranger. That he named after a movie show that he watches, and it speaks for itself. This is Christmas dinner. Let's let it ride about baby Jesus. It is Jesus' birthday.
Is it Christmas dinner? Or is it just a dinner?
It's a dinner, but they're going to say the prayer, but he's going to say what kind of Jesus he's praying to. Thank you.
Summer's ready. Come on, y'all. I've been slaving over this for hours.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call them. And, of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who's a stone-cold fox, who, if you were to rate her ass on 100, it would easily be a 94. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled up fist pawing.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look, I like the baby version the best. Do you hear me? I win the races and I get the money.
Ricky, finish the damn grace.
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says, like, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party, too. Because I like to party, so I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
I like to think of Jesus, like, with giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with, like, an angel band. And I'm in the front row, and I'm hammered drunk.
Hey, Cal, why don't you just shut up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent. We just thank you for all the races I've won and $21.2 million. Woo!
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 Ow!
Love that money that I have accrued over this past season. Also due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each grace. I just want to say the Powerade is delicious, and it cools you off on a hot summer day. And we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
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 Let's dig in.
That was a hell of a grace, man. You nailed that like a split hog. I
appreciate that. I'm not going to lie to you. It felt good.
Dad, you made that grace your bitch.
There you go. It's my Christmas tradition.
Who allowed that?
Jim. Did you see Christmas? He likes to pray to Christmas Jesus.
On the rundown, I said, what is this?
We do it every year. Do it every year.
Hey, Jim.
I don't remember doing that.
Can you play the audio of the entire wedding scene from The Godfather? Because they drink wine, and that reminds me of Christmas time. Can we do that next?
You didn't even drink.
Can we kill 12 minutes doing that? Beetle wants it.
Beetle wants a chair again this morning.
Beetle wants
for an hour.
Beetle wants Quint's speech from Jaws.
Oh,
he wants to play that in its entirety.
One.
That's his Christmas tradition.
4th of July is a holiday. So and you got 4th of July, next big one's Thanksgiving, then Christmas. Or Labor Day. Get that in there.
It's been like 9 years in a row he's done this.
Yeah.
It's like the first time I've heard it.
I don't remember doing it last year or the year before.
Then I wasn't here. I took a vacation day.
Yeah, we should take one now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.